Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well. Especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Let's talk about the trigger today, feeling the need to reinvent ourselves when we feel restless. I can resonate with this because this is actually how I was raised. My mom would move us to a new apartment when things felt like they were getting stagnant, and also it was a financial thing. And a lot of medicine in my family growing up, with my mom especially, was to just buy something new, start over, try this, leave. If something's feeling hard, get away from it. And that was really my motto for many of my 20s. That's how I kind of addressed problems, especially when I was doing manifestation that was steeped in spiritual bypass. And truly, like the old saying goes, where you go, there you are. That's what always happened. And so the more that we circle around and just continue to reinvent ourselves, if it's coming from that place, which is just another form of escapism, it's another form of numbing, escapism. That's the best way to put it. The same way that we drink or we overeat or we buy clothes, or, you know, it's another form of not wanting to look at our stuff. And it can feel really good. It's like new love over and over and over again. It can feel really good at first, and then our stuff catches up with us. So I always really implore clients to take that feeling of total restlessness and the need to feel like we need to shift things up, and take this opportunity to sit in your room with yourself, zero distractions, zero phone, zero TV for an entire weekend, no people around if you have that luxury. If you don't, if you need something free, grab a tent and head to the mountains and do this. Sit with yourself. Most importantly, sit with your demons. Great tools that can help you through this. Number one, the entry level of it is perfect to get to the root of what's going on and what really needs to be looked at, is the daily reprogramming exercise. And why those feelings of uncomfort are so important, it's because we're being invited to a new level. A new manifestation wants to come through. So everything's starting to present itself, old patterning that makes us feel stagnant or restless or, you know, weighed down. That's happening because we're being called to shift that up, to create space in order to let this new thing come through that we've been asking for, whether consciously or unconsciously. So the true program you can work through that's going to help you get to the other side of that is the rut inside of the up-level workshop. That's what I would take with me to the mountains or in my room or wherever I'm going to go face my demons and really look at my stuff. And like I always say in manifestation, why New Age superstitious think positive models don't work? Because again, we're manifesting from our subconscious beliefs, right? Where we're worthy, we manifest the things with ease that we're you know, sending out there, and where we feel unworthy in our subconscious, we're having blocks. And those blocks, those feelings of restlessness, the negativity, if you will, coming up, that's actually like our road sign to be like, go this direction, follow this little map down to your subconscious, because there's a block there that's blocking that thing from coming through. So the next time that you're feeling like, oh, I just need to reinvent myself and get out of this rut that I'm feeling, I urge you to do the exact opposite. I urge you to look at it straight on, and the only way on the other side is through. You want to deal with it and slay it once and for all, do that. The daily reprogramming exercise, or I would just jump right into the rut. Now, if you're the type of person who gets the ping to do something new, like a new hair color, or try a new this, or go on this trip, that's an entirely different thing. The way you can sort of tell the difference between the two is, one, you're doing out of boredom or stagnation or not feeling good. Two, you're doing because it's a lightning of inspiration that came through to you. It downloaded into you. Those are fun. Write those down in your ping journal and make sure to follow them now. Or if it's a bigger ping that you remember to look out for it in the future and follow it. If it's the opposite, it's time to look at your stuff. So I've had to do that many of times. I continue to still have to do that. I'm always having to look at my stuff when I get that feeling. Especially when it's in relationship and I'm like, oh, I just want something new. No, that has nothing to do with Max. It's all to do with me. So that's what I want to chat about today and implore you to please look at it, because you only have manifestations on the other side of it. Continuing to just circle around the loops and escape, that's just going to keep your manifestations orbiting around you but not coming through to you. Today's guest, Shaman Durek, I think this episode is going to blow your mind. We had to go and get lunch after Kate, Lila, and I to just process everything that happened in this episode. And so Shaman Durek, which you'll find out and discover all about his shamanism and his lineage and what that means, why I thought he was so magical was, before this episode started rolling, he, as we were making tea, read my blood, and he, by placing his fingers on my vein, and it was so accurate, his diagnostic. And my human design reader, Jenna Zoe, had said the same thing. His diagnostics are incredibly accurate, and it was so mind-blowing. We had a blast filming this. I think you get to see a very vulnerable side of me, as well as Kate. And it's a whole lot of fun, and he's really magical, really, really special. So I really look forward to you guys tuning in and getting the full wrath of this, because boy, is there a lot in it. So kick back and enjoy. Hi guys, welcome. We are here today with Shaman Durek, who will need very little introduction because he's so wonderful. So many of you have heard of him. He is your 3 or 6 generations
lineage. That's so funny. Why did you say 6?
I don't remember what I heard on Luke's podcast.
I'm 6 generations, but I claim 3.
Ah.
Because I feel like 3 of my family members could have stepped it up a bit.
Yeah. Fuck it. They don't get the credit.
So they're not getting the credit. Yes. So I made that. My sister was like, you're 6th generation. Why do you keep saying 3rd? And I'm like, because they don't get the credit for it, because they could have taken it further, okay, and they didn't. So I decided to say I'm 3rd.
Yeah, no. They don't get it. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, great. So, African lineage.
Yeah.
Of shamanism.
Yeah, West Africa.
Do you want to just explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so my grandmother and my great-grandmother and her brother and father and lineages before that. So my dad was born in 1925. He had me very late.
Wow.
And my grandmother was born in the 1800s. And in Ghana, the Yoruban tribe and the Mbutu tribe were very close. And so they were a part of the Yoruban. My grandmother was a medicine woman in the Yoruba tribe. And there were like 4 members in that tribe. And she was one of the medicine women. But slavery broke out. And this people started coming and taking the people and putting them into the Dutch slave camps.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, some of my aunts, unfortunately, got put in, and they went in slavery, and some of my other family members. I'm going to get emotional. Mm-hmm. Second.
No, that's fine.
But my grandmother fled and ended up getting on a boat through like, you know, just like as a miracle to Haiti.
Wow.
And ended up in Haiti. It was really challenging at the time for a lot of people who ended up in Haiti because they lost all of their tribe. They lost everything and they had to start all over. So my grandmother started being a spiritualist in Haiti and bringing the shamanism to people and helping the women, because the women was my grandmother's major thing about women empowerment, women being strong and so forth, and keeping the women strong. Because my grandmother always would say that, you know, if a strong woman, a strong man. Mm-hmm. So she always tell women, you have to be strong, because then if you're not strong, our men will fall.
Absolutely.
And then we won't be able to continue, you know, because the women will continue, but to have everyone together, you know. So she did that. And then they ended up finding a way to get out of Haiti eventually. And she ended up in New Orleans. She came into marrying someone of wealth and stature and ended up having like two homes. One house was the family on a beautiful, beautiful plantation. And then the other house was for people who came to see her for her shamanic work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. And she chose you to do this, right?
Yeah.
So, tell us about that.
So my father was her apprentice. And she always told him that he was going to have a kid that was going to exude more powers than the rest of the members of the family, the ones that I told you that I'm not necessarily, including my dad. I wouldn't say I'm not proud of them. I would say that they could have done more, you know.
What was their shadow? Why didn't they? Or were they not interested? What was their shortcoming?
I literally honestly would say that they became scared, you know. They wanted to be normal. This is also going to bring up emotions for me as well, too, because I dealt with this with my dad growing up. It's funny because I just talked to my dad about it the other day.
I'm glad you guys had that conversation.
Yeah, and he's on the other side, so we talk all the time. I talk to all my ancestors.
And now he doesn't have any ego anymore,
no,
so he can really have a conversation.
We really have deep conversations. he wanted to have a normal life, and he was glamored by, you know, this idea of having a normal life, this idea of like money and wealth and, you know, stature and all of this kind of stuff. And he didn't want to be a freak, and he got tired of being that, and he got tired of being made fun of, and he got tired. And a lot of other family members did the same thing. So growing up with my father, who sees me and my powers, knows that I'm the next in line, could have made it easier for me, even though he apologizes to this day. He could have made it easier for me, but he didn't make it easier for me. And what he did was, my grandfather, which is his dad, turned away from the shamanism because they both agreed, and they went into Catholicism.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then from Catholicism, Seventh-day Adventist. And then my grandfather became this very big Seventh-day Adventist minister. So you have one side of the family, that's the shamanic side, right? Which sticks to the roots of our family. And then the other side, who's judging that side.
Totally.
And the other side is going, why can't we be accepted? So that side struggles. So they took the money from the family and put it on the side of the religion. And the side that didn't have the money, they suffered. Mm. Still to this day, some of my family members still suffer. And the kids who have the gift as well, they all become crazy. Because the way it works in our family, yes. And my niece is one of the reasons why I hound on her a little bit, is that when you're born in this family and you don't use your powers to help and serve people, it turns on you. Mm-hmm. And we get sick, or we become crazy, or we lose our minds,
or addicts,
and yeah, it completely goes the opposite way. And so for me, you know, it's very important for me to really for me, devotion is everything. Mm-hmm. Right? And I feel like, you know, when my dad was dying, he said to me, I have all these powers, I could have used them. So I'm going to get emotional again. Here we go.
Let it flow. This is a safe space.
I'll be a little crybaby.
That's totally. How inspiring.
It doesn't stop. It just keeps crying.
It's all that Scorpio energy.
Yeah, I'm so watery. So, you know, the thing is that, you know, but my mom has been such a wonderful gift in the process, because my mother, Verushka, my mom is Viking. Her family comes from Oslo, Norway. And then her other side of her family is Native American. And my mom was the one who nurtured it in me, you know, because she's just like, she would tell my dad, you can't deny his gifts because they're going to get stronger and stronger. And then he's going to get sick, or something bad's going to happen, because literally no one is there to support him. So my mom was always like coaching me. And as a little boy, she, you know, she would say, like, I was a little boy and I would be upset that I couldn't change things with my mind and I couldn't like make something appear and stuff. And I would cry. And my mom would say to me, you're not on the other side. You're on Earth. You're in a human body. You have to understand that there are certain things in the human body. There are certain dimensions and certain things that you have to figure out about the human body and about the world of matter. And you'll learn about these things more when you get older. I'm sorry, you can't change and walk through the wall or make something appear or whatever. So she was always very supportive, you know? And like when I would start, like, you know, my sensorium got really strong and I would start traveling to other people on the planet and I would be watching people's day and stuff. And she'd be like, oh, are you, you know, are you, who are you looking at right now? Mm-hmm. Who are you spending time
God,
with right
God, how
now?
Amazing that she was able to nurture yeah. with that much.
Still does. Still to this day.
Thank God for her.
Yeah, she's such a gift, you know. And she's strong. So she's a Viking woman. She's very strong. And what I love about my mom is she sticks to who she is. You know, she never drove a car in her whole entire life. Mm. Never wanted to pollute the air. That was her big thing. So she always has a bike with the basket. She used to put me in the basket and get flowers. And she would sing while going down the street. And then, you know, she would be in the yard, in the garden, and she would teach me to draw symbols in the earth of the runes, you know, from Odin. And she would tell me, okay, this rune is Feyu, this rune is Dalgas, this means this, this means that. This is how you connect to our roots in the Viking culture. And so I spent a lot of time in nature. My father was a bit difficult about the situation, but then as my powers got stronger, he couldn't stop it. Yeah. I think the greatest thing I ever did in my life, and I actually wrote this in my book, when I was looking at it the other day, and I was looking at the things that are coming out in this book for next year, I wrote in my book, like, the greatest thing I ever did was rebel against my father. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I realized in life that I could have conformed. Mm-hmm. I could have done him. I could have did exactly what he did, mm-hmm. which is deny his roots because he was so embarrassed and wanted it to be normal, mm-hmm. whatever that means.
Completely.
Yet, by denying that, he denied himself. Mm-hmm. And when he died, he even acknowledged that, you know? And when because I fought him and he said, I'm so glad that you rebelled against me. Mm-hmm. He's like, and I made it really hard and he cried. And I was like, you did what you needed to do, but it strengthened me.
Yeah.
Because it made it to me to understand that I will never, under the price of being loved mm-hmm. or liked or being appreciated or wanted by people, I will never sacrifice my freedom.
Thank God. Thank God. Oh, and yeah. That's why you're doing this work. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm. That's my inner child, by the way.
Yeah. Did that. I love that.
I have many, many parts of me.
This whole community, all the work that I have everybody doing is shadow work, inner child work. That's all that's going to make you a good manifester because it's all about liberating, literally liberating anything that takes your power away. And then you're able to then stop attracting things you don't want and start attracting what you do want. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Shadow work in shamanism, the way we look at the shadow is we see the shadow as your light. So your light, your being of light has to take on all the things you won't take responsibility for. So it becomes your shadow. So whenever we want to know the truth about something, we ask the shadow. Mm-hmm. The shadow never lies to us.
Totally.
Where I'm like, hey, shadow, so why am I doing this? And it's like, you're doing this, 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 this. And it even tells me like what path to take versus the one that's actually going to cause me difficulty. Mm-hmm. Because the shadow is the part of your being that's holding the light, that is holding the all the things that you won't bring into accord, mm-hmm. all the discord that you haven't shown up with love for. It holds it. And so a lot of times in the Western world, everyone thinks the shadow is this like bad thing or this thing. And in fact, what the shadow does is it shows you where you're not showing up with love.
Totally. Oh, I love the way you just put that. And I always say like what we don't owns us. So it's like if our cord is, you know, it's our power cord. Literally, if we have that plugged into all these things, but if you're just communicating with your shadow and you're working with it, you take all of those cords out and put them back in. And it's what you're saying. The overarching thing is that you're becoming whole with your life.
Yeah, that's why I love standing in front of a wall when the sunlight hits you and you see your shadow. And then I talk, I'm like, shadow, what are the things that I'm not looking at? Mm. And it tells me, it's like, you're not looking at this, you're not looking at that, you're stuck in this, you're stuck in that. Because it's everyone wants to be love and light. And I love the sound of it, you know, but I think some people just have missed the mark when it comes to understanding what true love and light is.
Yeah. There's a spiritual bypass.
Yeah. It's spiritual bypass. Like spiritual bypass, spiritual amnesia, yeah. You know, I'm just like,
amnesia, yes.
You know, it's like, I honestly say it's the part of human beings that literally want to go into compromising their own self by playing the, love and light. And then when the darkness shows up, they run.
Totally.
I'm like, love and light are people who go to the front line.
Completely.
Love and light, people who hold the light frequency, which is love's intelligence, yep, goes right between the crowds, parts the crowd and says, where is the most dark, dangerous,
yes,
sinister, uncomfortable place? That's where I'm going to put myself.
And people don't realize, because I can see energetics, is that that's what creates magnetism. It literally creates that pull, because the universe is like, or God, or, you know, whoever you're working with is like, oh, look who's willing to stand into their power. So fearful, so afraid, like jumping off their cliff, whatever it is for you, that actually creates the pull, because everybody's afraid to do it.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. You know, and in African culture, in tribal culture in Africa, if you are a person in the tribe, the shaman sees each person in the tribe as doing their thing. The person who defies the tribe is the next in line to be a shaman.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite. And those are my favorite people too. I think I was one of them growing up, but they're the people who I'm the most drawn to are the rebels, like the rebellious, mm-hmm, because they're going like, I don't care if this doesn't fit. I'm going to stick to finding my authenticity and beating to my drum, which is true magnetism, you know, and manifestation. But they're my favorite people who are willing to go against the grain of whatever. I love that they choose that way.
Yeah. And so also beautiful. The whole idea that people have that just because if you come from a lineage of indigenous culture, that constitutes you as being a shaman. That's not true. Mm. And I feel like I have to constantly remind my Native American brothers that, mm-hmm, because they get so caught up in this whole kind of like neo shaman, ghost shaman. Like they're, you know, they're putting that out there because they're angry because they feel like people are just wanting to be shamans all everywhere. You know, it's, yeah, like the dog walker shaman, the shaman, the Reiki healer shaman, you totally know, the crystal worker shaman. Everyone wants to be a shaman and they think they know what shamanism is about. The funny thing is this guy asked me recently at Wonderlust, and he said to me, I'm training with these people. I'm training with this tribe and so forth. I said, train with them very little. And he, mm-hmm, goes, why? I said, because the true path of shamanism isn't taught by the physical. It's taught by the spiritual.
Wow.
So if you put your energy into like taking on this person to train you, you're being indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. And shamanism is about not indoctrinating yourself. It's about understanding beliefs, understanding people's understanding of those beliefs. But it's also about creating new symbols, new healing,
yes,
new design, new things.
Yes.
How can you create new symbols for healing? How can you create new healing things? How can you create new movements? How can you create these things if you're not willing to step into being a shaman?
Oh, I love that. Thank you for as everybody listening. I hope everybody's listening,
yeah,
to that, because that's incredible.
Like if you wake up in the morning and you all of a sudden just walk down the stairs of your house or walk through your house, go outside and you start like digging and putting flowers in these holes and then draw these circles around these holes and then start making these sounds and doing this dance, you are born to be a shaman.
I love that. And that's every child in a way, right? Until we take all literally their authenticity away through pain, shame, programming, labels.
Absolutely. The Matrix says that. That's the underworld beings. That's their whole purpose. That's why they bring the smoke creatures in your room at night. The ones who will take on your fears and like hide under your bed and be like the boogeyman or the one in the closet. Because they're learning about, they're there to make sure that when you have this trauma of this fear going on, that something you don't understand, and then you have parents who are already programmed in the Matrix who are like, mm-hmm, oh, there's nothing there, honey.
Mm-hmm. Can't see it,
you know? Immediately you go into the fear of the unknown. So you end up growing up being afraid of the unknown, even though you don't realize that you've gone through the unknown like how many times?
Totally, totally. Let's pivot to that, because Shaman Durek had me in tears in like 5 minutes of reading my blood, my veins, and then speaking to spirits. And we'll pivot into what you said. But before we get there, a big thing that you were talking about is, you know, the underworld and how it is creating this matrix that everybody's sort of playing into. Talk about that a little bit for people to understand.
So, you know, a lot of people will always ask me, like, how is darkness created? Well, first of all, they have to understand the quantum universe and the understanding of quantum reality and quantum entanglement. And this is actually scientifically proven, but in shamanism, we're shamans, we're much scientists as we are anthropologists, as we are sociologists, as we are astronomers, as we are everything that envelops the human species, as well as the development of the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the bridging of all energies, right? So if we look and understand that everything is operating on a quantum field, that means everything exists that you can think of. If you think that a fairy exists, it does. Mm. If you think that there's a world where the sky is green and people fly upside down, it does. Mm-hmm. All of these realities exist, or you wouldn't be able to think of them. Mm-hmm. So in spirit, darkness is one of the realities that exists. It just exists. And out of all of the many different quantum ideas that could be ever created, darkness is one of them. And the dark matter is sustained in this area of the universe. So you're talking about from the Andromeda region, all the way from Sirius, all the way to Palladius, all the way to the regions of the Obarians, which are the ones who created the, what do people call it on Earth? Guides, what do they call it here on Earth? Oh, yeah, the Akashic Records. All of these different regions of our space that goes out to the Pluto, so you have the Andromeda region, has dark matter field. Mm. So the dark matter field and the density field is also accumulated on Earth, mm-hmm. because all of the subparticles that are inside of space, when when planets are being created, which are star regions, that dark matter is held within all of that. So we are, dark matter holds the darkness, mm-hmm. and the void of that darkness, it requires consciousness. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying dark matter is dark.
Totally.
Dark matter is dark matter, but when consciousness gets in it and the consciousness is distorted, it uses the dark matter to create its own realm. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the underworld is. Mm-hmm. It's a realm created out of the distortion of consciousness that has fallen into the dark matter. The dark matter perpetuates it, but in order to perpetuate it, you need to keep filling it in with more of that consciousness. And so
I have a question. How does the consciousness get disordered?
The consciousness gets disordered by the dark matter.
So it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, right? Like who's creating what for? Is the dark matter playing into it? And then that's what's like fragmenting the consciousness?
So the dark matter is holding the field of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Let's put it to you this way. You are a quantum creator. Mm-hmm. Every morning you wake up, you have a choice as a creator to destroy or create.
Totally.
That's called free will. Mm-hmm. Okay. All things created have the same choice. That's what makes the universe so amazing. But some beings choose to just stay in a field of love, and mm-hmm. they never leave that field mm-hmm. of love. Okay, that's what we call heaven. Mm-hmm. That's what we call nirvana. That's mm-hmm. what, you know, when people talk about where you go when you die and so forth. There is a field of love that exists that it's bigger than anything you can imagine. It's like if you were to say, like megabytes and all those things, it's like none of those things in the space of it mm-hmm. can imagine to anything we could interpret.
Wow.
And in that field, it's pure light. There is no darkness.
It's infinite. Just pure,
it's too. Infinite light.
Okay.
Okay. But there are some beings who move out of that field, out of that that space, to create their own realities of mm-hmm. the universe. Mm-hmm. And so new galaxies are being formed, and new planets, and new species, and new forms of species, and so forth. And there are some beings who have created species that are in duality, mm-hmm. and they're called and held in quantum entanglement. Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
To me.
So, when you are a person who lives your life and you die, what happens when you die is everything gets shown to you. Now, when I say everything gets shown to you, it doesn't mean like the clothes you wore or the cappuccino you drank the most or like the friend, your close friends. I mean everything from the time and how you affected life. So if you said something to someone like that was very derogatory and that person was hurt and then they end up hurting another person with that same energy and that energy went to another person and then they went to 100 people, mm-hmm. you get to see all of that. Mm. You also get to see how people felt, how you felt, your choices, all of it. But the thing is, when most people die, they see it and they let go of it mm-hmm. and they go into the light.
So they accept it.
They accept it okay. and they go in the light because they know that it was an experience on Earth that they had, but it's not who they really are.
So they can differentiate. Okay, right. Separate.
But if you're a being who's killed someone, who has hurt yourself so much or hurt someone so much, and you see that, some beings can't let go. Mm-hmm. And when they don't let go, the light just says, okay, well, whenever you're ready, we're here. We love you unconditionally. Mm. They go to that. They go into the dark field of their stuff. They can't let go. Mm-hmm. And so that field of darkness that they go into, like, let's say, for instance, you are a person who murdered someone because you were in war and you were told by your general to kill someone and then you die, you can't let go of the fact that you did that. You go into that field. Mm-hmm. And so you're in the underworld, which is the realm of darkness, or in that, inside of that dark matter field. However, you're playing it out over and over again while also given the opportunity to choose a host. Mm-hmm. A host is us.
Right. And I have to dig for a minute because I'm such a geek. I'm like, let's nerd out. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Because this is a great lesson for people in life right now, that you can start fucking dealing with some of this while you're here, so you're not dealing and you can just go to the light. But can we assume that what's making them, while they're in the underworld, they can't let it go? It's just the same construct of reality that they've been fed through programming, right? So it's like, you have to feel guilty for this because you learned X, Y, and Z about what having a conscious, where basically something programmed them that's bad. And so, because, right, if we're to really get into like pure consciousness, nothing's right or wrong, but there was a construct that showed them that. So that's a good message for the person that's just in the physical body right now on Earth. Like, hey, start questioning what your right and wrong even is before you go.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I always tell people that, you know, you can, it's a joke I made in my book, which is basically like, you know, in some cultures they serve up chihuahua for dinner, whereas for us that's disgusting nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
But for them it's disgusting and nasty that we dress our animals with sweaters and have them lick our face.
Totally.
Or in Papua New Guinea, it's a customary ritual for men to be together sexually, mm-hmm. whereas here it would be considered like you're homophobic or like, you know, you're gay and all kinds of labels that would be thrown upon you, like totally. You know, so it's, again, it's relative to each person's perception.
Completely.
Right. And so what happens is that in this realm, the reason why we're here is not because we need to have a human embodiment. That doesn't serve the purpose of our need to be here. Our purpose to be here is to bring our brothers and sisters out of that field who are trapped from that black hole, which is the underworld, that just keeps taking more consciousness in every time a being chooses to go there. Mm-hmm. And it learns of their consciousness and builds a construct for them to be trapped in. Mm. We've come to get into that construct. But the thing is, the darkness knows that we're here. The darkness is afraid of us because it doesn't think it can be loved.
Totally.
It's like a child that doesn't think it can be loved. So its need is to keep surviving in that construct. Mm-hmm. So it taps into the consciousness of us on Earth and pollutes our minds with the stories of those who've died, who can't accept what they've done. They tell their story to our thoughts, and we think it's us.
Wow.
And the whole infrastructure is set up to support that construct. So everything from school to your government to every single thing, even divisiveness, even labels, even gay versus straight, women versus men, any kind of quantum entanglement duality that has been created and suggested upon this planet, even the billboards in the street, even the celebrities are all selectively chosen by the matrix that the dark realm built off of the minds of those who have been enslaved through their thoughts to build their construct on this plane.
Wow.
So in shamanism, we talk about going to different planes, and the underworld is where all of the orchestration comes for our world. So our world is being orchestrated by the dreamers of gods that are walking embodiment here, but their dream is being tainted by the underworld's suggestions. And here's the interesting thing. All they can do is tell you to do things. You have a choice to say no.
Wow.
That's how
I don't think people know this. Like, right. I don't think they have that. And wait, I want to walk them through really quick what you said about me to give an example. And then what I want to go through from there are tools that people can start to like embody right now to give them choice daily. But because you nailed me in 2 seconds, and it's a lot of stuff that I talk about to this community all the time. Like one of my biggest shadow and blocks is that I feel like a burden. That's one of the biggest. But do you want to go through or ask, you know, the spirit?
Do anything you want. I mean, I can do all kinds.
Because I want to show you guys what he's capable of. He's fucking amazing.
Yeah, let's see. Your construct. I'm just going to draw a spiral here. Okay. All right. Here we go. So your construct, the way your construct is operating is in the idea that you are not going to be hurt by anyone. So you decide to create a construct of protection that makes it where you have it all figured out for yourself. So anything that is outside of that construct is going to come in and test it and you're going to find a way to push it away, mm-hmm. but in a way that makes it seem like you need me more than I need you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of you need me more than I need you makes it so that the bandwidth of energy that is coming in, meaning the flow that is coming in, is denied by the push of your energy, that you're overcompensating the push of energy outward into the world. Mm-hmm. Therefore, people actually get manipulated by that energy and actually give up and go, oh yeah, I do need you. You're absolutely right.
Interesting.
And then you get to say, no one really cares.
Wow.
And then you also get to say, oh, you see, they all, you see these people, and this is what they're doing. This is how they're doing it. But you're the one who's creating the at the edge of your construct, there is the manipulation point.
Okay.
In that manipulation point, it's the idea that people feel uncomfortable giving to you.
Totally.
So you make that that manipulation reflect back onto them. So then all of a sudden you can say, I have to do everything all the time. I feel like I'm alone. I'm always having to do this. I always do that. It's like wah, wah, wah. But the wah, wah, wah construct that you're creating internally inside of that construct is the idea to perpetuate the idea that no one cares about you.
Interesting.
So you can keep the wall up.
Well, here, I want to say too, I want to break down what you said earlier so people understand it on an even deeper level.
Yes.
Because what he said earlier, which is 1000% on point, is that I don't want to be a burden. That's the biggest. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I don't allow anybody to really do anything for me. It frustrates people. So that's how this is going to play.
The burden is illusion. The idea of being a burden is basically, here's what it means.
Yes.
I don't want to be a burden. Here's the meaning of what you're really saying. I don't want to get hurt by you.
1000%.
By you letting me down. 1000%. And by me putting my expectation on you and you letting me down and me feeling vulnerable to you, where you misuse your power over me, and therefore I end up becoming a part of your construct.
So I'm quickly interrupting this incredible conversation, which I'm sure is bringing massive expansion your way, to share that this is a little secret offering just for you guys who are loyally tuning into this podcast. You won't find this on the blog or social media or anywhere else, but we're offering you 10% off with the code EXPANDED. That's capital EXPANDED. To sign up for any course on our site and receive 10% off. And so that goes for the formula in magnetism. If you're sitting there wondering how exactly do I manifest, it's your step-by-step process. It also goes towards any of the Unblock series, all of which I always like to say help to pump up your magnetism, with Reparent and Shadow being the most important that every manifester should treat themselves to. And also the roadmaps, which are for the people who are just joining in and don't have the luxury of being able to have a session, or for the people who want to take the programs they already have far deeper in a way more navigated terrain. So enjoy that code, EXPANDED, all caps, and we're so excited to have you as a part of this community. Make sure to also tune in to Supported for extra support weekly when you have questions. Unfortunately, because that's a subscription program, we can't offer a code off on that, but it's there for you and it's cheaper than a pack of gum every month. And I made it that way for myself when I was absolutely broke and had zero support in my life so that it could be accessible for anyone. Last but not least, I hope you're enjoying the episode, and please share any manifestations that are coming from doing these workshops simply using the hashtag FN Manifestations.
I want to bring it back to what you said because it's going to help all of this. You said, and maybe if you want to channel it too or talk to it, but it was basically like, in a past life, I'm afraid of my gifts. In a past life, I was Native American. I have a lot of anger towards women. Yes. I need to work out.
Yes.
And then the other thing, it's all, I'm afraid of showing up essentially and feeling like a burden, which we just learned is a manipulation. That I'm afraid of this because of control. And then you brought up because there is something in the underworld. And control is everything for me. Everything you said is so spot on, especially with control. And then I said, how do I let go of all of that? You said it was the control from the underworld. Do you want to talk on that?
So everything that we hold on to that is a construct based on fear comes from the underworld. So control is a contract, is a construct that comes from fear. Mm-hmm. It is a synthesis of the idea that you're not going to be able to handle something or deal with something. So you call a spirit from the underworld to come as a servant. They move into your home and they begin to give you instruction.
Is it like parasitical in a way? Like something that attaches to you?
The parasitic aspect of it is what happens to you internally and externally in your life. That's what creates the parasite. Mm-hmm. It's a spirit that wants you to figure it out in hopes, but it can't say that to you. You have to have the free will to decide that you're going to not buy into the constructs of control and you're going to bring the spirit of control home to the light.
And how does one do that?
Okay. Let's begin. So I want you to say, I'd like to speak to control.
I'd like to speak to control.
Are you listening to our conversation? Ask it.
Are you listening to our conversation?
What did it say to you?
I get the feeling of something feeling afraid.
Do you see how you get the feeling, but you won't listen to it?
Yeah, I can't hear anything.
No, it's not that you can't hear
anything. I mean, I'm not hearing anything.
It's like that you are expecting the way you think it's going to happen. And see, in the first training of shamanism, we learn to observe. And most people think observing is analyzing. It's not analyzing. It's being present with. It's knowing that it will speak to you. And just being present with it, because it's going to speak in your thoughts and it's going to share it with you. Watch. Go like this. Say, control, is it true what Shaman Durek is saying?
Control, is it true what Shaman Durek is saying?
What did you hear in your thoughts?
Yes.
See how I spoke?
Yeah. And let's ask it something else. I want to just confirm this.
Say, is it really easy to speak to any spirit? Oh, let's say this. Control, why did I call you in? How are you serving me?
Control, why did I call you in and how are you serving me? To protect you, it said.
And say, as much as I'm willing to observe without analyzing, is that how long you can actually talk to me?
As much as I'm willing to observe without analyzing...
Is that how much you can talk to me?
Yeah, is that how much you can talk to me? I get yes.
The voice, the spirits, everything wants to talk to you. The trees want to talk to you. The flowers want to talk to you. Fire wants to talk. Everything wants to talk to you. Even your cells in your body want to talk
to
you.
Totally.
It's just that we have become type people who can't handle truth. So we have become, we are not mature, spiritually mature to say, I'm willing to listen to what the angels have to say. I'm willing to listen to what the tree has to tell me. I'm willing to listen to what the earth is going to share with me. Because people are not, they're like, oh my God, what if they say something bad? So you immediately block it because you're afraid of the unknown.
And do you think that society has created that for us too by like tapping us from childhood? Like just tapping us.
Well, the Matrix did.
Yeah, the Matrix.
The beings from the underworld set that up perfectly.
Totally.
The first one was making you believe that God would ever be mad at you or hurt you. That construct right there creates a subconscious, a subconscious schism that makes you actually start destroying your own kind and destroying your own species and giving rise to the fact that it's okay to hurt each other.
I agree with that fully. So, but basically this first lesson that you're teaching me and also people tuning in is that if you just get quiet and you start to communicate with something, you're going to hear its communication back to you.
If you stay in what we say in shamanism, in observance, because observance builds relationship. Analyzation does not.
Okay.
You cannot in life interact with a spirit or any kind of anything, even the food you eat or even the sound of music, if you are not willing to be in observance.
Okay.
Because that is when that spirit of that energy merges with you and shares itself with you.
Aha.
Like, watch, take your hand, don't analyze it. Just observe that it's there. Now, without analyzing it and telling and going into that, just keep observing that it's there. And then notice what sensations arise. Just through your observation. And when you feel something in your hand, tell me.
I just feel it feels like blood circulating.
Okay.
Sort of the
so feeling. Say, I feel blood circulating.
I feel blood circulating.
And just keep observing it.
It's so hard not to go into analyzing.
It's not hard.
It's not hard, but it's so. It's just a system that wants to keep looping.
It's a system that loops out of fear.
Totally. Right? Out of not feeling in control.
So for instance, in African culture, if you judge, we consider you a blind person.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. So you'll hear the shaman say in the tribe, he'll say, don't talk to that person because they're blind.
Oh, wow.
Don't talk to that when they're blind. Mm-hmm. What do you mean they're blind? They see with their eyes. No, they don't. They don't see with their eyes. Mm. They see with their judgment.
Yeah.
Which means they see nothing.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. So a blind, there's like, when I go down the street, sometimes I'll be at a party or something and someone's talking to me and someone's like, oh yeah, you know, show me your power, shaman. I said, I wish I could, but you're blind.
Oh, wow. I love that.
I would love to show you powers so that you can engage, so I can show you how to use yours. Mm-hmm. But you're blind right now, and I can't show you until you're willing to be unblind.
Oh, I love that. It's so true, and it's something that I need to hear. Everybody needs to hear. It's so important. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. So you cannot analyze the unknown. Mm-hmm. You can experience it. So when people get out of this idea of analyzing, comes from a masculine perspective. It comes from the idea that I have to analyze it so I feel safe. Mm-hmm. People judge because they don't want to engage in the community of what they are experiencing. Everything is bringing you to the greatest community, which is creation. Mm-hmm. But you cannot get to that community through analyzing. You know, people say, oh, I want to be a healer. The first thing I say, okay, you want to go be a healer? Go sit in front of the tree and tell me what happens in an hour.
Mm, wow.
If I go to them and they say, well, I don't understand what's going on. Why am I sitting here? This is a waste of time. I said, you're not ready. Mm. Come back when you're ready. You're blind.
Wow. So yeah, observing. And so it's a whole different thing. It's not just sitting in meditation, observing. I mean, there's a way you can communicate, it sounds like, with the spirits through that and not analyzing and just listening, but also really observing everything inside of you. That's the gift of sight.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you will hear a lot of people say that even darkness has, the world, the underworld has infiltrated spirituality in such a way. Because I told you, the underworld is very smart. And that's why we have to get smarter. Mm-hmm. And we have to know when we are not being in that alignment of that intelligence. And when I say intelligence, emotional intelligence, clarity, observation, experience, non-judgment, which means blind, not being able to try to analyze something. When you are in that space and you're able to step into the awareness of situations, instead of reacting, because see, darkness wants you to react. And darkness even put into spirituality, like when people meditate, for instance, they tell you, calm your mind, calm your thoughts. Darkness did that. You don't think darkness infiltrated the New Age community and the spiritual community? Of course it did. It wants you to calm your mind and stop your thoughts. Because if you heard your thoughts and you were observing them, you would engage with the knowing that there are spirits that are inside of your processes. You'll be like, what is this?
Let's talk about this for a minute, because it's exactly what you're saying.
Let's geek out in it.
So I have this all the time. I have other people talking in my head constantly. It's like I'll have an African-American man talking like from the 40s, and then I'll have this younger kid talking and stuff like that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
That's it.
Those are spirits.
It's not like the I'm picking up on empathic or whatever. It's spirits from the underworld.
Well, you have to ask them. I don't know if exactly from the underworld.
Perfect.
Exactly. But like, look, say control.
Control.
That's what we're going to name it for now.
Okay.
See, did you have a human body at one time?
Yes.
See how quick
I didn't
an answer?
Have to ask. Yeah,
see
yeah,
how
yeah.
quick?
Yeah.
Say, what did you do when you were human? Were you male or female?
Male.
Mm-hmm. Say, what did you do? Why did you not go to the light when you died? Why did you choose to go to the underworld?
I get sadness. Like, I'm hearing sadness. Mm-hmm.
Say, was there something that you couldn't accept that you did?
It's kind of like, and this might be sort of how they manipulate or play tricks, but it's kind of what it's communicating is like, ma ha 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 ha. It's kind of like that.
Okay, so if it's doing that, mm-hmm. that's you projecting onto it from your disillusionment of darkness that has been played out through Hollywood.
Ah, interesting.
Spirits don't do that.
So it's good to be able to decipher the difference.
Yes, of course. You know, spirits will always tell you the truth. They always tell you what's going on. They if you're willing to listen.
Ah, wow.
If you have a fear of listening, you'll turn them into a monster, a demon, like, oh,
yeah.
Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like one time I was doing an exorcism with this priest in Italy, this woman who was possessed, and she was like foaming at the mouth and doing all this kind of stuff, and the priest was like, you know, doing the prayers and everything, and I said, look, I said, let's stop with the prayers and let's stop with the charades. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, so you're going, I go, so spirit, you know, you do know, I know what you are. Mm-hmm. And so all of this you're doing right now for us is only for her.
Because it's her projection of what she witnessed.
What she feels she has to go through.
Interesting. Based on a movie possessed. Or something. Yeah.
So she's going to foam.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to convulse and go through like foaming and speaking and saying weird voices like, come. Oh, shut up. Can we move on with this?
So this is such a good lesson. Like, they're so clear with you when you're 100%. Talking to them. Okay.
They talk to you like you're just sitting down talking to a friend having tea.
Great.
They're not here to play this. They play games like that because that's what you want. And if you don't hear something, it's not because they're not talking to you. It's because you don't want to hear what they have to say because you're blind again.
I have another question. Like, let's just go down the rabbit hole with this one. Let's do it. So, it was probably about 3 weeks ago, and I have spirits that fuck with me all the time. And so, we'll talk about that separately and then this. I want to get into both of them.
They're not fucking with you.
Okay, well, they are like...
They're seeking your help.
That's it. Because the first question I have is it when they're hiding my keys, when things like that are happening, like locking doors, opening windows, are those my spirit guides that are doing that? Or is it the underworld? Is there a difference?
It could be different. It could be elves. It could be goblins. It could be a different type of beings.
Because the biggest thing they've been doing lately is I feel the frustration. Like they're frustrated that I'm not listening enough. And so
they don't get frustrated. They don't have human emotions.
This is such a thank you for decoding this because I need to know what's going on so I can work more clearly with what's going on. Because
they're very like straightforward. Like da 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 da. They laugh. They have, but they don't have human emotions. Like, oh, we're disappointed in you.
Okay.
They don't go into that space. If they say they're disappointed in you and you get that, it's because some people will say, well, I heard spirit putting me down. That's because that's what they did to themselves. They're from the underworld. That's what they did to themselves when they had a human body. They're just sharing their story with you.
Oh.
If you ever go like this. Say, I open up the Stargate. Go ahead.
I open up the Stargate.
Above my head.
Above my head.
To open Clarity's Gate.
To open Clarity's Gate.
Angel Gabriel.
I'm who I work with a lot. Angel Gabriel.
That's why I'm calling Angel Gabriel. Because Angel Gabriel says that's you do that. Angel Gabriel, does the beings of the light get mad?
No.
Do they put you down?
No.
Do beings that are off-worlders, such as other beings from other galaxies that are higher evolved beings in light and consciousness, do they get upset with you?
No. I'm seeing colors. No. It's pink and stuff. No.
Say, why?
Love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that means that if you are getting that, mm-hmm. right, this is your, what I call your enveloping. This is like your layers of nonsense that you've created about your idea of the spirit world.
Cool. Let's fucking break them all down really quick.
Yeah. When people are like held down in their bed and they're like, I can't move my body. There's a spirit in my room.
Is that sleep paralysis? Like, what's going on?
Well, what it is that they're afraid of the fact that there's a presence in their room.
Uh-huh.
Some spirits will actually do that to your body because they're bringing new energies in and they're doing it. But if it's a fearful thing, it's because you're already in fear.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is, and now there are spirits from the underworld who do come into the room, and because of your fear, you lock your body. But to break it, you do this thing called blazing. You think of something you love so much.
Okay, yeah.
And you see it like a sun blasting through your body. Mm-hmm. It's called blaze.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it stops. You get unlocked.
So here's a couple of questions back to what we're saying, because I love what you're teaching me right now. It's so beneficial because I have this stuff and I think everybody probably does. This is coming around me all the time. So now I know how to engage with it. So the other night I was sleeping. We've bought a retreat house for the company. It's going to become a residency. So it's nice. Like Seekers. I like it. And when I was starting to wake up a little bit in the middle of the night, and there was like a spirit with it's like it was spooning me, and its hand was in my hand, and I started to touch, and I'm like, oh no, like I want boundaries. I don't want you doing this. And good or bad, it was like neutral feeling from me. What's going on there?
Well, one, you've given it permission to do so.
Okay.
That's why it's doing it.
Okay.
And
how do you get clear about if you do or don't want that going on? Is it energetically you communicate that?
So the thing is that human beings hold this idea of boundaries based upon things they can accept and non-accept.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit world, we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like spirits will come in my room all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just simply say like, hey, you know what? I really need to get some sleep tonight. And they're like, okay. And then they leave.
Okay, cool.
Right. Some spirits, if they touch you, like cuddle you and stuff like that, that's because there's a part of your being that's asking them to do that. So instead of saying, okay, I wasn't aware that there's a part of my spirit that I gave permission for that. I need to talk to that spirit and find out why.
Okay.
Right. And you can do it right now. Say, I'd like to talk to the part of myself that gave permission for that cuddle.
I feel like you saying it calls them in. Is that enough? Can I do that? Because it feels like they call right in.
No, that's fine. Whatever. Okay, you cool, wanna, cool, cool. You, but I'm going to say something to you about that.
Okay.
Because I really, 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 really do not want spiritual codependency.
No, my God. I'm 1,000%. So like when I leave here today, I will start talking. But the reiteration right now, my projectorness like, that's too many times to say it.
I get it. But even saying it transfers your power over to me as a reflecting energy to give power to whatever's happening.
I see.
And so, you know, when a shaman is a shaman, you'll know a real shaman from a fake shaman. A real shaman is about showing you powers.
Totally.
Right? A real guru is about showing you powers. They're not, they're laying the buffet in front of you. They're not like, okay, let me give you a cracker here or a little meal here.
And see you six other sessions. I'm the same. When I did work with clients.
It's like, here it is. Yeah. If you want to keep growing, I'm here to support you. But remember, everything I'm supporting you on is about making so that you are dependent in yourself.
And you have the tools.
You're efficient.
Yeah.
You're not codependent.
I
the worst thing we can do as human beings is create spiritually codependent people where they become so codependent that they're just puppets.
I agree.
Right?
I totally hear. And I'm so glad you said that because it's so important for people to listen.
Let's change your words.
Okay.
And say, by you being here,
you inspire me
in my own power. And I'm honorable.
Yep.
To my power.
And I'm honorable to my power.
By seeing you as a reflection, brother. That keeps your dependency out and keeps it in.
I love that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So are we calling in the part of my spirit? I'll call it in. Okay, so part of my spirit.
So this part of my spirit.
Part of my spirit.
That called that in. Why did you need that?
It goes back to everything you said. It's because I don't let anybody do anything for me, you know, which is my own bullshit.
And so what did it need?
It needed affection.
That's right. It's exactly what it said to me just now.
Yeah, I needed affection because I don't, even
see
my poor partner.
See how powerful you are? Look at
that. Well, yeah, I know.
See, and you didn't need me to do that.
No. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Like, I am such a proponent of no dependency on any healers. It's
no,
so important.
No, yeah.
But, okay, so we nailed that one. Now, here's another one.
Well,
let's go back through.
Let's go back to control.
Control. Yes, control. How do I deal with the spirit of control?
Okay, say, so control. Say, do you miss your friends and family that that's in heaven? Ask it.
Control, do you miss your friends and family that are in heaven? Yeah.
Do you want to go home?
I'm not getting an answer.
That means you're blind.
It does,
you're
huh?
judging.
Okay. Should I just assume if I'm not getting an answer from that as well?
There's no assuming.
That would be a yes?
It's just simply knowing that if you're not getting an answer, it's because you're blind, you're judging.
I'm not allowing it
they
to come
They never
through.
Not answer you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you sat in the room with someone and someone was sitting in front of you, and you asked them a question like, what's your favorite color? And they just looked at you all mute. You know what I mean?
I hear
you're
you.
Gonna be like,
this is so important for people listening. You're giving out these are incredible tools. Nobody fucking knows how to deal with spirits, and we all have them at all times going on. So I'm so grateful.
That's
for this.
The role of a shaman, not just dialing out ayahuasca and telling people what did you see, and then sending them home and telling them they had an amazing experience because they felt love for a moment.
And you're a spirit shaman.
I am.
Break that down for 1 second for the people listening.
So a spirit shaman is that we understand all things spirit. So spirit, I can tell you how to access spirit world, move through spirit world, how to read spirit, how to connect to spirit, how to, like, you can have a water on the floor or something and you can read into the water, and I teach them how to activate it and how to become friends with spirits. The thing is, with spirits, you have to understand, and I tell people this all the time, because a lot of times, like, even people who are studying in magic and hermetic laws and all these things like that, there are certain trees that you can talk to, but not in the sun. Mm-hmm. They only talk to you at nighttime.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And there are certain stones that people don't even know about, which kind of, I'm laughing only because they turned the whole gem stone thing into stones are always working.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I actually feel often that they're not.
There are certain stones in the stone family that won't activate their power until certain times when the sun goes down or when it's nighttime. Spirits have their own world, and you have to have reverence for their world. Mm. And you don't go in like you're conquering their world.
It's like a child.
Or like they owe you something. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do anything for you. Mm-hmm. They do it because they love you. And so human beings have to learn more reverence and more devotion. And so in Spirit Shaman, that's what we teach people. It's how to understand spirit, how to understand the different dimensions, how to access them, how to gain your powers, how to be able to move beyond your senses of touch, taste, mm-hmm. and feel, and hear, and see to your other extrasensory senses that go beyond this physical body. Mm-hmm. And how do you stretch your feelings out? And how do you access informational streams? And how do you move out of being depressed and into a moment of joy and sustain that joy so that you're never out of that joy.
Wow.
There are all these different energy frequencies. And so that's what we learned. So I studied the dark arts for 7 years of my training. Because in spirit shamans, we also have to understand the underworld. We have to understand how it works. Mm-hmm. We have to understand what kind of other types of sub-dimensions there are where other spirits are trying to tap into this world so they can get dominion over people. Mm-hmm. Like if you ever have people say to you things like, all of a sudden I saw Kali come to me and now I'm doing this weird thing with my hand and stuff like that, mm-hmm. they're possessed mm-hmm. by a spirit from a sub-dimension that's trapped in a dimension that needs to gain their trust. Mm-hmm. So they keep giving them an ounce of truth with a big ounce of poison so they can take dominion over their body. There's different types of spirits. So I'm schooled in all of that.
Wow.
So when someone says to, like, one time I was at this house in New York and my friend was saying something about her daughter screaming at her because she wouldn't give her candy. Mm-hmm. And we had a big women's group. We had like all these people come to sit with me and talk, whatever. And her daughter was like screaming. And I was like, oh, must be that goblin again. And my friend goes, what? And I said, yeah, there's a goblin inside of your child. Mm-hmm. And she's like, how do you know? I said, because goblins like children to eat a lot of candy so they get sick. So I said, goblins, that's what they do. So I said, bring your daughter into the room. Watch. I go, don't even say anything. Let's just bring her in the room. So I had all these other women who are very like prominent New Yorkers. And they're like, you know, just coming into the spiritual world. And I said, go ahead. I said, can you ask the goblin inside why it wants you to keep eating candy? And it says, because the goblin wants me to eat more candy so I can get sick.
Wow.
I said, can you hear the goblin talk to you? She's like, of course. Talks to me all the time.
Of course, because they haven't lost it yet.
All the adults in the room are looking at me like, there's such things as goblins. I'm like, darling, there are vampires, goblins, all kinds of beings. You just don't see them because you don't know what you're looking at.
Totally.
So in spirit shamanism, we show you. Like one time I was in a street in New York and there was this man and woman walking down the street and I was with one of my friends and I go, those are vampires. And he goes, how do you know? I said, watch. Just watch how they move. It looks like they're moving like they're moving from right to left, but they're gliding when they walk.
Wow.
And their eyes are very like almost defined. And you get a weird feeling. I go, put your hand over your stomach so you can feel your feelings more. So like if you cover your navel, you'll actually be able to feel your feelings more. And my friend was like, oh my God, this is freaking me out. I was like, yeah, that's a vampire. They're cloaking. They look like human beings, but those are vampires.
Wow.
But the thing is, people don't know what they're looking at. They don't know, you know, what these things are. And it's not, and to me, it's not like a grand thing because they don't know I feel superior. No, I feel inferior because I want people to know.
Yeah. And you want them to have that power. Okay, so I sidetracked you, and I'm so grateful you explained that because that's so important. So control, let's get rid of control and keep talking.
Okay, we're not going to get rid of control. Let me explain something
to you. I'm like controlling how to get rid of control.
This is something amazing. Everyone needs to understand. The story of the big bad wolf, okay? Yeah. The wolf wasn't bad. The wolf was hungry and the wolf was scared. Mm. And he would do anything he could to survive.
Totally. Like all of us.
And if the pigs just opened up their house and had a steak waiting for him and sat down with him and talked with him, they would become good friends.
Yeah.
They would realize that the big bad wolf wasn't just trying to eat the pig. It's just hungry. Mm-hmm. It's hurting. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to get rid of anything. Mm-hmm. We have to stop looking at anything that's in opposition to the light as something that's bad. We have to get rid of it.
Amen.
We came here to love it free.
I love that. Okay. Love it free. That's why, what sends it
That's
back.
Why we
okay.
keep seeing more darkness on the earth, more rapists, more killers, more this, because we have no compassion.
I agree with you
100%. Everyone wants to condemn, find the big bad monster. Who's the evil person now? Let's lock them up, throw away the key, execute them, this, that. You know, everyone always wants to persecute and send more beings to the darkness. Mm-hmm. We need to pull out their light.
I love
we
that.
We need to have conversation, engage with them. If I'm dealing with someone who's white supremacist, I'm not going to be like, oh, that white person, blah, blah. When I hear my black friends be making comments, I'm like, no, my darlings, you are perpetuating the situation. You are not helping the situation. What you want to help the situation, have lunch with them.
Totally.
Engage with them. They're coming from fear that their race is dying off. They're coming from fear that you're going to be, your anger, because they can sense it, is going to one day come after them. There's all these other things going on. And all the programming.
Totally.
We can't keep acting like that.
I agree. I love that. Thank you for saying that. Thank you. Thank you. You're right. We're loving them free.
We're loving them free.
Okay.
Yay. Okay. Yeah. So that's how I treated the monster in my closet when I was a kid. I was like, what are you doing here? Why are you in my closet? It's like, I'm here to scare you. Why? So you'll never come into the unknown. Why? Because then you'll find our realm.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your realm? And they just kept asking questions and they told me everything. Watch. Ask control. Say spirit of control.
Spirit of control.
Are there many of you in the underworld?
Yes. Are there many of you in the underworld? Yes.
And are you all our brothers and sisters?
Yes.
And is there a lot of beings down there that are afraid that the light will never love them?
Yes.
And is that the reason why you keep infiltrating the minds of people and creating more rapists and killers and people, creating war on our planet to keep the construct of your underworld going?
Yes. Do you want to explain that for a minute? Why they have to feel they need to keep the construct going, just so people understand?
They don't, because they're held in a field of the density. Mm-hmm. So they are operating from consciousness of density. So they don't think they could ever come into the light because of the things they did.
They don't deserve it, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And that's why at nighttime I go to the underworld a lot, because I really want to be there for them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get emotional. I'm getting emotional again, and the emotions are coming up. Yeah. You see, when we're in heaven, everything is there. Anything you want, you can eat as much as you want. You can make love, you can fly, you can turn yourself into an animal, you can run free, you can create your own worlds. When you realize this, you're just pure love. And when you look out in the vast universe and you see that there are these realms, billions and zillions of them that exist, where your brothers and sisters are trapped and they can't come home because they don't believe they can. You leave heaven because you know it's always there. You're willing to erase your mind, and you're willing to choose to go to a planet where you'll have to believe that that's your home. And the reason why is not so we can go to the baseball game, or, you know, get good reports on our report card, or, you know, have an amazing car or house or any of these things. No, it's so that we can understand the darkness, so that we can bring them home. Do you know what it's like to know that these are our brothers and sisters?
Let's talk about that for a minute, because that's really important. It's the human family. What has made you, obviously having this gift and being able to interact, but to really understand and see not only everybody in the physical form, but also everybody in the underworld as your true brother and sister?
But they are. I mean, it's not anything. It's, you know, when I died in the hospital and I went to the other side, they showed me everything. And when I saw how many of my family is stuck down here, I had to come back.
Oh, wow.
I had to come back. I could have stayed. They told me I could have stayed. I could have stayed. So many people would choose to stay. And they told me if I came back, I was going to be in a wheelchair. I was going to be in dialysis. I was going to suffer so much pain, but I didn't care. Because when you're on the other side, you don't care about these things of the flesh.
The physical.
I just knew that I had to help them. I had to come home for my family. I had to help them evacuate them out of the darkness. They're trapped down there. And everyone on planet Earth just keeps them there by their reactions to darkness. They keep making everything dark. They keep making everyone wrong and looking for the bad person. They don't understand. They're condemning their own brothers and sisters.
I agree.
So yeah, I came back to bring love to them, to show that you can love greater than fear. You can love greater than labels. You can love so much you can go, or you can get them out of that realm and bring them home. Even religious people, I don't understand how they don't know the difference when they read the Bible. There's a scripture in the Bible that says the prodigal son. How come they don't understand what that message is? It says even if you do these things, the home is to, you're still welcomed in home. You're still loved. You know, and it's like, people can be so mean. They're so mean to each other. They don't understand what they're doing. And then, so I just said, like, that I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. I don't care. Someone shoots me or stabs me or kills me. At least I did what I needed to do. I don't care about those things. These things are temporal. Where we come from is eternal. And I'm scared. So every time I deal with the darkness, I don't look at it like people do. I don't look at a prisoner in prison who killed a child like someone does. I see them. I see the darkness that infiltrated them. I feel the pain inside of them where they're trapped in a dark dimension. They don't think anyone cares. And everyone hates them and everyone wants them dead. And so they just keep doing more and more darkness because no one is saying, I love you.
Mm-hmm. And I love you for all of you.
Yeah.
What is their reaction when you do free them? I think that's really helpful for people to understand and know.
Talk to control.
Okay. Control.
It's like, control, I'm taking you to the light.
Control. Look, it's making me emotional. Control, I'm taking you to the light.
Take you to a place of unconditional love.
I'm taking you to a place of unconditional love.
How do you feel now, control, that you're in the light? Ask it.
How do you feel now, control, that you're in the light? Free.
Say, what do you want to say to me from everything that you were doing?
What do you want to say to me for everything that you were doing? I love you. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Wow.
Fuck. Say, are you happy that I was willing to see your truth? That you are not this dark. You're not control.
Are you happy that I was willing to see your truth, that you're not dark?
That you belong in the light.
Yeah, it feels like a puppy. It feels like a dog. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that's what that feels like, is like how we feel with our animals when we have that love. That's what the love feels like.
Unconditional love.
It's
every time
so
we try
important.
To change someone, we're not loving them.
And like my control, my manipulation, which is all just everything that I programmed through childhood. It's all of our own, you know, the same stuff. That paradigm, you know, that maze that you drew out of what that is in terms of not manipulating, because I know how I manipulate the people I love. You know, I talk about it even on the blog and stuff all the time, that I'm trying to get out of that because it's what keeps me safe.
Yeah.
But it's like,
and all he wants to do is love you.
Totally. And we're both just reflecting that back to each other, our own projections of safety.
We just want love.
And he wants in. But I don't know how with
you do.
That one.
You do.
I just have to love.
You just have to accept.
Even these guys who are so amazing, and you know, the team, like, I don't know how to fully accept all the time, like help and stuff like that. I don't.
You are. Let's change your words. I'm really excited. Repeat.
I'm really excited.
That I've let down a wall today.
That I've let down a wall today.
That I've allowed vulnerability.
That I've allowed vulnerability.
To redeem me.
To redeem me.
I realize. That I can.
That I can.
Accept.
Accept.
Being loved.
Being loved.
Without the idea.
Without the idea
that I owe someone something.
That I owe someone something. That's the big part. That's the hardest part.
It's not hardest. Change your words. That's the easiest part that I've been accepting.
That's the easiest part that I've been accepting.
And it feels really good to accept it.
And it feels really good to accept it.
Notice what energy just came through your body.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So say control.
Control.
What would you like me to call you now?
What would you like me to call you now?
Now that you're in the light.
Now that you're in the light. Love. It's all fucking love.
Mm-hmm. Say, you can go home now.
You can go home now.
I'll see you when I return home to heaven.
I'll see you when I return home to heaven.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. That's so beautiful.
Did you feel that shift?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I could feel it. And I was like, I'm not even going to say I could feel it leaving because that could be a projection, but I could feel it.
Yes, of course you can.
Totally. Oh, I love that you taught us that. I mean, for everybody listening, thank you so much for that teaching.
Of course.
I have a couple more questions.
That's okay. You know what? You know what my friends are like? So my friends.
I can't even.
They're hilarious. We'll have dinner and they'll hang out and they'll be like, they'll never want to ask me a question, but I know they do. So yeah, I'm like, just ask the question.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just
but
do
it's
it.
Okay. I don't mind at all because anything that's going to help you come more into your awareness of your power. My friend Bonnie, you know, she played Guinea. I think I said her name, Ginny or Guinea. I always say it wrong. She always laughs. But, you know, she played on Harry Potter. And she said to me, being friends with me is like always being in Harry Potter.
Totally, right? Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Showing her like magic.
And
like,
goblins.
Yeah. Like one time I was with my friend. We were in the desert. And I was like, do you want to really see what's in this desert? And wow. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, grabs his arm. And I like shifted my perception so he can see. And he's like, you gotta be kidding me.
Wow.
People don't even realize what's walking on the streets with them.
Because you have all spirits, everything around you.
Yeah, so like the what do you call it? The filters are not there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, it's amazing because you know how to harness it for the others.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, but it was a part of my training, you know. Yeah. And then as you get older, you learn. Like right now, my niece is going through it. The spirit, my ancestors have been talking to her, and it's just been a challenge for her.
I bet.
She wakes up every morning, there's a spirit in her room talking to her, and she's like, oh, I can't deal. I can't.
And she's an Aquarius on top of it.
Yeah, so it's been a challenge for her, but I can't do anything to help her because she has to go through this process. It's a part of. Yeah, it's her journey. Ride the dragon, man.
Yeah, ride the dragon.
That's why I say with people emotions, I'm like, you surf it up, and if people can't handle emotions, you're a wipeout.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that's how I look at it. I look at everything as like some kind of, you know, like if you're dealing with emotions, you're surfing. If you can surf, you have emotional intelligence. If you can't surf, you're wiping out. That means you let emotions take over you. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's the same thing where people say like, oh, that person made me feel like shit. No, they didn't. It had nothing to do with you.
It's all your shit,
it's
right?
It's your stuff. Yeah, you're just saying that because you don't want to own it that you chose out of the book of all the emotions you could have chose. You chose to feel like shit. I'm just showing up.
Yeah.
Just showing up. If I make you feel like shit, oh well.
Yeah.
And if people think that they have to walk around the earth and like, because they don't want to hurt anyone, chances are you've hurt tons of people you don't even know you
hurt. Totally. And plus, you just got to be your authentic. For anyone who wants to manifest, you have to get into your authenticity. It's a work in progress forever.
Yeah, your authenticity is your truth. It's your truth of truth, right? Like when I was giving you those things and you just said it, that's truth. Mm-hmm. You weren't putting a middle person there going like, I don't know. It's so easy to say the word, I don't know. But I don't know means I have no power. Mm-hmm. When people come with me to have sessions, they think they're coming to have a session. No, you're coming in for instruction to get back to your truth.
Totally, totally.
I'm not fixing you.
Yeah.
if you come to me and you're like, I can't walk or I can't this or I can't that, all I can do is show you how to access your powers. We're not powerless. We're powerful.
So for me, like I've had, you know, I've worked with this like physicist who checks your brain waves and all of these things. And he was like, you are the like second highest I've ever seen of somebody who can heal everything in your body from your mind. You're not doing it. Like you're not tapping into your powers. How much do you think we have control over healing with our mind, with spirit?
I think we have, it's not about control. Mm-hmm. It's about allowance.
Okay.
Spirit always pours into us that which we need. We are the ones who block it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's the same thing. It's like nature's always pouring into us. If nature didn't, we'd all die.
Totally.
So why aren't we pouring into other people?
Totally.
Why aren't we pouring more into ourselves? Mm-hmm. We're vessels. A vessel needs to be poured into. And then when the vessel gets over full, we need to pour in someone else's vessel. That's how we keep everyone in sustenance.
Totally.
Right? So healing is always present. But what disengages the healing is your lack of it.
Where do we follow you at, number one? Because your shit's about to, like, once people see this, they're going to be contacting you. Stop. How do we, A, follow you for starters?
You can follow me on Shaman Dirk. You can sign up on my newsletter to do some shamanic training. We'll find out where I'm going to be, what city I'm going to be, what workshops I'm doing. All of my workshops are one of a kind. You're not going to find anything like that out there. Everything I teach is exactly that comes from lineage. So therefore, it's not like you're going to learn how to do drumming and find your animal spirit.
Yeah, yeah,
you're going to
yeah.
learn how to change water molecules. You're going to learn how to shift energy polarities. You're going to learn how to walk into a room when someone puts a dark cloud in and disperse it immediately.
I'm coming.
Yeah, it's really great stuff. So, you know, you can do that by signing up on my newsletters. You get informed. Follow me on Instagram because I like to bring people on who are in the tribe to tell their stories. I want to hear, I want people to realize that I'm not just talking to you. I need you to talk to me. You need to educate me as well. So this is what the tribe's about, right? Mm. And so also you can check me out on Ancient Wisdom Today podcast where I do shares of love with other guests and other people. And we're just sharing and loving. Sharing and caring. I always like love that one from the Care Bears. Sharing and caring and loving and hearing and just lifting and shifting the tribe to higher understandings of truth, love, and possibility.
Amazing. And you have a book coming out next year for all the people who don't have access.
I have a book coming out next year. It's called Spirit Hacking, Shamanic Tools and Techniques to Reclaim Your Personal Power, Transform Yourself, and Light Up the World.
Love it. And what do we have to look forward inside of that book?
Everything about how to increase your powers, how to increase your awareness. Like, what is real awareness versus like what people call the new age form of awareness, right? Like, how to be able to access the things that I just showed you. Like, how to be able to understand the darkness and understand what's happening and understand the matrix and how to actually weave yourself through the matrix. It's not about smashing or destroying the matrix. It's about learning how to get the matrix to work for you.
Love that. And that's what I learned so much of today. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you're so awesome. We're so thankful. Bye, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining today. And if today's episode piqued your curiosity about manifestation, head over to freeandnative.com and click on Start Here, where you'll find a video of me giving you all of my recommendations of how to navigate manifestation from here on out. And again, if you liked it, please comment below, review, and share with a fellow manifester. And if you're looking for the like-minded community that you might be manifesting, head over to our Facebook group called The Secret Society. You can find that on our homepage. And make sure to sign up for our newsletter where we send out new manifestation content and how to digest it and put it into practice twice a month. Have a beautiful day.